To be in the house of the Lord, I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. As the song it says, all in vain unless the Spirit of the Lord comes down. Doesn't matter what we try to do or how good we do it. I'm just glad God shows up around here. Because if anything's going to be done, it's going to be because of Him. I want to preach this morning on this subject, the cross of Christ. And I want to read some scripture in Mark chapter number 15, and then I'm going to go through and try to just bring the things that God has laid on my heart. But if you got your Bible and you want to read with us, I'm going to Mark chapter number 15. I'm going to the 15th verse, and I'm going to read a few verses of scripture, then I'm going to try to bring what's on my heart this morning. But in the book of Mark, in chapter number 15, and verse number 15, it says, and this is beginning to where it's leading up to Christ going to the cross. It says, and so Pilate, willing to consent to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head. And began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. But they didn't call him King of the Jews because they believed. They were mocking him. After he had been beaten, and I honestly believe that they had beaten him so badly that if it had not been necessary and the Father's will that he go to the cross, he would not have made it to the cross. It says, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of this accusation was written over the King of the Jews. Now they didn't put that up there because they believed he was King of the Jews. But that was an accusation. It says, and with them they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, and wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him or scorned him. Now what they did not realize is that by staying on the cross, he was saving them. By saving on the cross, he was fulfilling the will of God, and he was fulfilling his purpose to come to this earth. Now I want to ask you this question this morning, and I want you to look really at the cross this morning as I preach. Not necessarily at me, but do you believe in the cross of Christ? Up on the wall behind me, there is a cross that's made of hardwood, that's been sanded and that's been finished with stain and with several coats of lacquer to make it shine and to make it pretty. And one in front of me is a golden oak. Brother Keith has done a great job in building this pulpit, and it's very nice, and I appreciate it. But we look at it and we see how beautiful it is and the finish that's on it. But I want to tell you that the cross that Jesus bore was not like this cross. It was a cross, but it was rough wood. It was heavy. And when they placed it upon his shoulders, it pierced down into the back that had been beaten, that had been scourged to the extent that normally a man would not even live through. And on the cross that Jesus bore, there was blood. Generally, about once a year, we go up to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And if you're coming into Pigeon Forge and you're coming in from Ware's Valley, I'm sure a lot of you have seen this cross. But when you're coming into Pigeon Forge, there's a very large cross upon the hill. And that cross stands up there, and they've built a building, and from one view, you can't see it as much as you used to. But I tell you, every time you come into town, people see that cross. People pass by that cross. People stay in motels at the foot of that cross. They get in go-karts and ride them, and on rides for their children. And from any angle, you can see that cross. But I wonder if people really understand and believe in the cross of Christ. I was up on Barrett Parkway several years ago, and I actually saw the greatest street preacher that I've ever seen and heard in my life. But he was silent. He was right out in front of the big Chevrolet dealership across from the Subaru dealership there. And as he was coming up and down the sidewalk, all he was doing was carrying a huge cross. The cross was on his shoulder. It was bigger than the one behind me. And on the very end of it, it had a little wheel just so we could drag it. But I'd never seen that done before, but I saw him going up and down Barrett Parkway. And you know, as I stood over there in the parking lot and I looked across, I knew that people understood the message. You see, a lot of times when you hand somebody a tract or you go hear a preacher, a lot of times it's difficult to understand the message because you can't get past the person. You can't get past the personality we're trying to decipher. But when you look at the cross and you see the cross, there's one message. And when I saw the man carrying the cross up and down the highway, Barrett Parkway, I thought, how many people ride by and they look at the cross, they understand the message, but the question, do you believe in the cross of Christ? See, because the cross was bloodstained. The cross is painful. It forgives. It loves, but the cross also demands. And I believe this is why so many people have a problem with the cross. You know, a lot of times we wear the little crosses around our neck, and you know, we wear a cross because it's difficult to wear a picture of Jesus. You know, we've got a lot of the different backgrounds to the songs that we put up, and sometimes we do our best, artists do their best, to depict Christ. But oftentimes what you see is some well-groomed, nice-looking person, but the Bible says that when you see him, there was no comeliness or no beauty, that when you see him, you would desire him. He was just a plain man that came and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, so that you and I would be able to have life. Now, I want to tell you this, why the cross is significant. When he died on the cross, he died for our sins, but he didn't stay on the cross, okay? He went to the tomb, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He rose, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Because he rose from the dead, we can rise. Because the fact of the matter is, every person in this church this morning is dying. Even from the least. We're dying. We're not going to live forever. We're going to come to the point one day, whether it be young or old, that our last day is going to come up. Will a man live again? Job said yes. And Jesus Christ said, if you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. But the question, do you believe in the cross of Christ? You see, the cross is something that you cannot ignore. You cannot just push it aside. Every person must deal with the cross of Christ. Every person. You got to deal with the cross. Now, I want to give you something this morning, the message of the cross. And the first thing that I want you to understand about the cross is that it is a cruel message. And the reason it is a cruel message, and I mentioned that the cross is bloodstained, and I've added a little bit to the wooden cross up in front of us, but you know, the cross is a cruel message because it was torturous. When a person was guilty of some terrible sin that they were guilty of, and they were sentenced to death, it was a cruel way to put someone to death. And what they would do in crucifixion is they would lay the person down, and most times they would actually tie their hands out. And they would push their legs up to where they were not actually standing, where their knees were bent, and they would tie their feet to a little stump. And when they were hanging on the cross, they would let them hang there, and they would be literally tortured to death. It's not like a hanging or a firing squad to where it's over in just a minute. But as he hung on the cross, you had time to reflect, you had time to think, you had ability to speak. But the longer you were on the cross, the less your ability to speak came, the less your thought process worked. Because as you hung on the cross with your arms outstretched, there was a problem with your lungs. Because you could take air in, but just like what people deal with who are battling with severe cases of emphysema, you couldn't get the carbon dioxide out of your body. And in order to be able to breathe, they would push down on their feet to stand up and stretch to be able to get the air back out of their lungs. Now here's why it was increasingly more difficult and increasingly more cruel for Christ. Because he had been beaten to the point that literally, if it had not been the will of God, I don't know that he would have made it any man to the cross. That's why they called when he was going up Golgotha's hill down the way of sorrows, the Via Dolorosa, and he fell. They called for Simon and said, "You carry his cross." They had plaited a crown of thorns and pushed it down into his head, into his scalp. And as it pierced his scalp and the blood ran down his face and into his hair and his back was torn. When they got to the top of the hill and they threw the cross down, they didn't tie his hands. They drove a nail or a spike big enough that a man would hang on right through his palms, right between the bones, so that he would be able to hang on the cross. Then when they pushed his feet up and they crossed them one over the other, they took a jagged spike and they drove it through his ankles and they pinned him to the cross. So when Jesus was on the cross and he was attempting to breathe, he had to push down on that spike and take the pain into his body, writhing in pain to rise up and breathe. There were 7 cries from the cross that Jesus gave. Every time he cried from the cross, he had to push down upon those spikes to be able to stand up for you and I so that he could speak the words of how much he loved you, how much he even loved them when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you believe in the cross of Christ? It's a cruel, cruel message. The cross is also a condemning message. Because we cannot look at the cross without being reminded of our own sin. You see, Jesus went to the cross. He had done nothing wrong. When he came to his own received him not. He did many miracles among him. And he even said in one place, "A prophet is not without honor save in his own country." And the religious crowd of the day was not happy with him because he was most difficult upon them, because they said they were from Abraham, but they didn't believe who he was. They didn't know the scriptures. They didn't honor God with their deeds. He said they were like whited sepulchres. Like, and what that is a whitewashed tombstone. That when you walk by it and you look at it on the outside, it appears beautiful and it's an honorable thing. But on the inside, he said, "You are full of dead men's bones." So they begin to hate him, and they thought every way that they could that they might take him and have him put to death. But I want you to understand something. When he died, he hung, as the scripture says, between 2 criminals, but he hung there in mine and your place. So if we look at the cross, if we believe in the cross, it reminds us of our sin. It reminds us of our state. And it reminds us that we are guilty. You see, you have to deal with the cross. You can't just look at it and you can't just pass over it. You must deal with the cross. It was a penalty for sin. And as Pilate knew that at the time of the Passover, it was customary to release unto the people someone. And he said, I can't find any fault in this man. And he even went and he washed his hands before them. And he brought out the worst criminal who was guilty of sedition and murder. In other words, he had killed people breaking into their homes. He was the kind that you and I see on TV and we disdain. And we say, why in the world can't we do something about people like this? And he brought Barabbas before the people. And here you see the religious crowd going in and amongst them. And it said, release unto us Barabbas. And they said, release unto us Barabbas. And he said, well, what about Jesus? And the crowd cried, crucify him. And they took Jesus and they crucified him. But here's the significance in this story. Jesus hung in Barabbas' place so that Barabbas could be like Jesus. Do you say that Jesus hung in my place so that I can be like Jesus? Because that means all of my sin he took upon him. And that's why when he was on the cross, you know, when they came by and they actually took a large wooden, like a ball bat, and they broke the legs of the one on the left and they broke the legs of the one on the right. The reason they broke their legs is so that they could not push themselves up to exhale, because they suffocated. That's how they died on the cross. But when they got to Jesus, and this fulfills Scripture, he was already dead. Because the Old Testament said that not one of his bones would be broken. See, crucifixion was a reminder of our sin, and it was a penalty for sin, but it was also a curse. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13, it says that Christ hath redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 21 and verse number 22 and 23, and you can actually find the reference for this verse where it says, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. It says, he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. And here's what I want you to understand, that Jesus bore our curse. So when we ride by and we're going into Pigeon Forge to have vacation, or we see the man going down the side of the road carrying the large cross and he's out there willing to testify. You know, a lot of people want to tell you what they think. I've heard street preachers on the corner that cannot open their mouth without offending somebody. They're not trying to reach people for Christ. But when you see a man carrying a cross, everybody gets the message. The Lord Jesus Christ bore your cross. He bore your curse. He was cursed in my place. There's a verse in the New Testament that if any man believe not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha, which means accursed at the coming of the Lord. See, the only sin that's going to turn God away from you, it's not the little things you do, it's not the thoughts, it's not the actions, it's when the Holy Spirit comes by and you reject the Holy Spirit of God. Do you believe in the cross of Christ? You see, it's a cruel message. It's a condemning message. But praise God, it is a converting message. You see, it's a converting message because Jesus took our place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, the Scripture says, for he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what happened with Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross in Barabbas' place so that Barabbas, if he would just confess, if he would just believe, could be like Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I could just see Barabbas as he was released to the people. And he goes in amongst his own, and they're patting him on the back, and he's released, and he knows he just narrowly escaped death. I don't know about you, but I think he just might have been off at a distance looking at the hill of Golgotha, the place of a skull, and seeing Jesus hanging on the cross, seeing the sun go dark, seeing the power of God moving in that place, and wondering, did he take my place, and can I take his? Because God that I serve, he loves us so much, it doesn't matter what you've done. He paid your penalty. Do you believe in the cross of Christ? See, Jesus took our place on the cross, and all of our sins were left on the cross. In Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 4, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Then here's the key. It says, nailing it to the cross. All of my sin was nailed on the cross. All of my wrongs, all of my past, present, future were nailed to the cross. The question is, am I going to receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross? See, my sins were crucified with Jesus. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. What that means is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe the reason he cried that, and it was the first time that God the Son and God the Father were ever separated, because God the Father had to turn his back on his Son, because all the sin of us, for you and I, for the whole world, was placed on Jesus on the cross, and God cannot look on sin because God is holy. Sometimes I think we take for granted the love of God, and we forget that he is high, he is lifted up, he is holy. And all of the sin of the world was placed on Jesus. And he said, why have you forsaken me? It's because every sin that everybody in this church has ever committed was on Jesus at that time. See, it's a converting message. Because he took your place. All you have to do is believe and receive. That's all. That's all. Which leads me to this. It's a comforting message. See, the cross reminds me that I'm loved. You ever think about that? You ever look at a cross and think about how much God loves you and how much God cares for you? The cross is a reminder that we are forgiven. Now, folks, everybody needs forgiveness. Everybody. You might think right now, oh, I'm fine. I'm doing just fine, just like I am. One day you are going to, if you have the privilege to know that you're going to be taking your next last breath in just a few minutes. You need to know that you're forgiven. You need to know that the mercy and the love of God has been shed on you, and that you feel that peace coming to your heart. The cross is a reminder that we're loved. It's a reminder that we're forgiven. It's a reminder that we can have mercy. It's a reminder that we can have grace poured on us. Do you believe in the cross of Christ? It was a reminder. That's comforting to me. And I'll tell you what else is comforting. This is where it's none of the devil's business, right? When Jesus was on the cross and he hung there and he was dying for you and I, he said, it is finished. Now here's something I want you to understand about the cross. Everything that'll ever need to be done, past, present, future, for anybody in this whole world to be saved, it was accomplished at the cross. Amen. You don't have to help it. You don't have to do anything. Sometimes I think people say, well, I've got to do this or I've got to do that. All you've got to do is believe in what happened on the cross of Christ. Amen. Jesus said, it is finished. Nothing else needs to be done. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to give. Just believe. If we had to work to repay it, there'd be more people getting in line. That's why the religions of the world and every other one other than Christianity is works-based. People are getting in line. It's not because they believe it leads them to God. It's because it keeps them from thinking about the cross. You know why young people are getting on Facebook and joining the occults? And I'll include Islam because it's no different than MS-13. It's because it allows them to run wild and rebellious and live any way that they want to be and not be accountable and not have to accept the cross. Do you believe in the cross? Everything that has to be done was done. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 says this: "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves." There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can give. You can't be good enough. You can't get straightened out enough. Sometimes people say, "Well, I'm going to come to church as soon as I get straightened out." You'll never come. Because when you come, you're going to come with other people that need the same mercy and grace that you need. You know what it says? It is the gift of God. In other words, Jesus said, "I love you so much, I'm willing to do anything." And then he did this. It says, "I love you this much." And he stretched out his arms and he gave his life for us. See, it's comforting to know the message of the cross. That's why you can take the cross of Christ and you can hold it dear to your heart. Because if you believe in the cross of Christ, you've got to deal with the cross. Now I want to give you the last one. This is the most important point. The message of the cross is a calling message. In John 12 and 32, this is what Jesus said. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So you got to deal with the cross. The cross demands that you deal with it. Because the cross is calling you. Number one, the cross calls you to repentance. See, when we look at the cross, when we see the cross, if I'm Barabbas and I'm standing at a distance and I see Jesus hanging in my place, it should have called me to fall to my knees. As Peter, who looked at the Lord and he had denied him 3 times with a curse, when he looks at the cross, what did he do? He wept bitterly. The cross calls you to repentance. But why do people turn away from the cross? Why do people ride past the cross and not think about it or put it out of their mind? It's because of this. If I or if we accept to believe in Jesus, in the cross of Christ, then I must acknowledge my own sin. See, if I can put it out of my mind and I just think, "Well, those religious people, they're crazy." I want to tell you something. Nothing that happens at Pyram First Baptist Church is about the people. It's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and giving Him proper place in our life. If I acknowledge the cross of Christ, I must acknowledge my own sin. If I accept, believe, acknowledge the cross of Christ, and if I acknowledge my own sin, then I must bow before it. You see, we're living in times today to where people don't want to bow. People are so filled with pride. People are so lifted up. They want to take God's glory. And I want to tell you, the worst ones are some of the preachers. Nothing that happens here is about us. It's all about Him. We can only come in here because of His mercy. It's not because of how good we are. It's all about Him. If I accept the cross, I must bow before the cross. In Luke chapter 23 and verse number 39, just a couple of verses, there were two, one on either side. And I can just about see them when they took them up there. If you're guilty, and they're guilty, they were criminals. And they threw them down to crucify them. A lot of times they're hardened hearted. But I've heard this saying, there's no non-believers in foxholes. When you know that your life's about to end, I tell you what you need. You need peace with God. No use worrying about all your stuff. Somebody else is going to get all that. You're not taking it with you. Tell you what you're going to need. You're going to need to know that when you close your eyes in death, whether you believe in that light that's out there, whether you believe like some people in nothing, I want you to understand you were created by God, for God, for the purpose of God, and you weren't made for this life. You were made for eternity. You were given a body and a soul and a spirit. This body is going to die, but the soul and the spirit are going to live in eternity. I can just imagine as they hung there, one of them's heart begins to soften, and one of them's heart begins to harden. When I see people who have hard hearts, and I've tried to witness to some, it breaks my heart. But here's something I want you to understand. You can't be forced to be a Christian. I cannot force you to be a Christian. I have loved ones, and you do too, that are in trouble and that need God. And if you could take what you have and what you believe and give it to them, you know, they'd be here next Sunday. And not only would they be here, they'd have a zeal about them that would make you want to go to the altar. Because if I say that I believe it, I ought to be doing something about it. In Luke chapter 23 and verse number 39, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. The other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Or nothing wrong. Says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'll tell you, what does that mean? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're saved by the grace of God, when you close your eyes in death, you open them in the presence of Almighty God. And when you get there, He's going to know you, you're going to know Him, and if you're saved, you're going to be satisfied. What about the other one? You see, he opened his eyes too. But he opened them in a dark place. Eternally separated from God. See, if I believe in the call of the cross of Christ, it's calling you to repentance. If you've never accepted Him, that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You're older than you were yesterday. And the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then it says, after this, the judgment. You see, you need Christ more than you need anything else. You need to understand that the cross of Christ is calling and it demands that you deal with it. Well, what about us? If I say I believe in the cross of Christ, I'll tell you what it's calling me to do. It demands that I rise to my feet. You see, the cross also calls you to action. See, not only when you first see and understand the cross of the Christ should it bring you to your knees, but the cross should also bring you to your feet. See, Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 16, 24, He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If you look up the word cross in your Bible, it appears 28 times in the King James Version. Probably similar in many other versions. But when you look it up, you'll find that Jesus talked about the cross to His disciples and to His followers multiple times. And He was telling them that one day you are going to have to take up your cross. You see, if I believe what I say about this cross, it demands that I stand to my feet. It demands that I declare this word. It demands that I speak to others and tell them, you've got to deal with this cross. We should have a desire to carry the cross. Sometimes I think people have even got confused about this. They think that bearing your cross is all your problems. Kind of like I heard a man one time say, it was kind of a parable. He said he went before the Lord and he had his cross and he said, "God, my cross is too heavy. Would you give me another cross?" And he said, "Well, just go in that room right there and see if you can find one that better suits you." He said, "I went in and I looked around and I looked over here. I looked in the corner." And he said, "I found out that my cross was already smaller than those." You see, sometimes we all have our troubles, we all have our burdens, but I want to tell you something, as a Christian, you're never alone. You never go nowhere that God's not with you. There's no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation, there's also been made a way of escape. He that's with you will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He's God. He's God alone. He has no equal, and He will not walk away from you when you're in trouble. See, if I'm going to believe in the cross, I need to carry His cross. See, as a Christian, I can't get up here on Sunday, and I mean, my heart comes in here, and sometimes I'm so heavy because I want every person that comes in this church house to go out that door satisfied with what's going on in their heart. I don't want anybody to come in not knowing Jesus and go out the same way they came in. See, the cross should bring us to our feet. Because if I believe in the cross of Christ, and I believe in its power, I believe in the forgiveness, I believe in the message, then I want everybody to have it. Now here's the question. I'm going to ask Brother Keith, if he would, to go ahead and get ready with a song. The question, do you believe in the cross of Christ? Do you believe in the cross of Christ? If you say that you believe in it in your heart, what are you going to do about it? See, the cross is calling. It's either calling you to repentance or it's calling you to rise to your feet. See, I believe with all my heart that the opportunity that we have as Christians is drawing to a close. Amen. Now, I don't know how much more time we're going to have to stand and preach and to sing, but there's going to come a time when God's going to say, "Time's up." When the door of mercy is going to be closed, and when Jesus Christ is going to stand and He's going to come back for His church. And when He comes back, the Bible says that we believe we're going to rise and we're going to be with Him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, sometimes, and I love getting together doing this, talking about what it's going to be like. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. But I can tell you this much. I was out this past weekend and I was out in the woods. I was in a sanctuary. And I was there and I was looking at the leaves and I was looking at the trees. And you know, I was taking in the smells of the fresh plowed dirt and the diesel fuel. And I was looking at God's creation. And I thought, "God, as much as you have blessed us here, what in the world is heaven going to be like?" See, the Bible says, "Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." But it also says that He hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. And here's what I want you to understand. When we get to heaven, we will be satisfied. We're not going to get up there. And I'm not going to be saying, "Brother Tommy, I thought it'd be better than this." I'm not going to be saying, "Well, I thought it'd be this way." I'm not going to be saying, "I miss," and call out something on earth. Not going to do it. And it's not because I've done anything good. It's not because I've done anything right. It is because Jesus Christ loved me enough that He went and died on a cross for my sin. And here's how simple it is. All I had to do was believe in the cross of Christ. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet, and I want to tell you this much. We have an altar on both sides of this church, and here's what we're doing. We're going to give what's called an altar call or an open invitation. From where you're sitting, if you'd like to come out and pray, we'd love to invite you to pray. And here's the thing about it. If you come with somebody this morning or you're here and maybe you've just said, "Well, I've even had people say to me, I didn't even know that I could come down to that altar. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know that was me. I want you to know that God is standing with His arms wide open. People in this church that believe in the cross of Christ, it's brought us to our feet. And we want everybody to believe in the cross of Christ. As they sing this song, if God spoke to your heart, would you please, please step out and hear and move on the call that God's put in your heart tonight. Go ahead and sing.
I used to be so lonesome, I never had a friend. Always looking out for number one. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't care where I had been. The life I led had me on the run. Then one day Jesus found me and turned my life around. Showed me what I thought I'd never see. He put me in His family, and He's with me to this day. Let me tell you what salvation's done for me. I used to be a blind man, but now my vision's clear. Mercy came and drove the shame from me. There's peace in mind with Jesus. It drives out every fear. I'm stronger than I thought I'd ever be. I can't tell you why He loves me. As bad as I have been, or why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not a scholar, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Let me tell you what salvation's done for me. Day when life is over, I'll go to my reward. Heaven waits for those who've been set free. With saints from all the ages, in the presence of our Lord, let me tell you what salvation's done for me. I used to be a blind man, but now my vision's clear. A mercy came and drove the shame from me. There's peace of mind with Jesus. It drives out every fear. I'm stronger than I thought I'd ever be. I can't tell you why He loves me. As bad as I have been, or why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not a scholar, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Let me tell you what salvation's done for me. What salvation's done for me.
Now, this is Brother Richard, not Brother Roger. Thank you, Brother Richard. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and my heart's really heavy, I'll just be honest with you. Believing in the cross of Christ and believing in Jesus is the most important thing you'll ever do. Sometimes I know that getting comfortable to step out and move might be difficult, but I want to tell you something. I've known people get saved at home in their den. I've known people get saved going down the road. I know a guy got saved. He said when God broke his heart, he got to crying so bad he pulled over in the parking lot. He couldn't even drive. God spoke to your heart this morning. It's because he loves you. This cross calls. And I believe every time you look at a cross, you ought to remember this message. It's not because of me. I'm nothing. Only reason I'm here today is because when I was 12 years old, we had revival down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. And a man named Hubert Legg came and preached a revival. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and let me know that I was lost. And I went down and just asked Jesus to come into my heart and my life. And all God wants to do for you is save you, bless you, love you, forgive you, and show you kindness. So we want to thank you for coming and being with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for showing up and being with us. We're going to have a service tonight at 6, and we are looking forward at what God's doing in this church. Looking forward to Awana. And I want to challenge you to do this. There's no reason why every young person over here in this corner and everyone out here is not signed up for Awana. You want your children to be able to go out into this world and be prepared. They need the Word of God in their heart and their life. You know, we're giving you opportunity. And I've heard people a lot of times say, well, we need opportunity for discipleship. Folks, we got it. You just got to take advantage of it. And that's what this is. Amen. Brother Tommy, would you dismiss us in prayer?